The very worst part about drudgery, Worstley thought, was all the blasted drudging one had to do. Nothing joyful or fun or frolicsome around the corner for a lowly farm boy like him to look forward to. Just more drudgery of a mind-sapping, soul-sucking nature, and on a good day, no cause for involuntary up-chuckery. At least he'd become somewhat accustomed to cleaning up the barnyard after his older brother, Bestley, had been stabbed in the heart by Lord Urgot for being too handsome. Some said barnyard duties were a step up from scrubbing the chimney, but Worstley wasn't so sure. It had been almost 9 months since he'd last vomited at the smell of assorted animal dung, but it was a constant struggle. It was still his least favorite chore, and he had to do it every other day. Walk out there with a shovel and a sack among the goats and the pigs and the chickens and those dratted geese that goosed him whenever they could, and scoop up whatever foul turds they had excreted since the last time he'd cleaned up. And after that, the stables awaited the same routine. Only then could he have a sad waffle with no syrup on it for breakfast. He didn't think his mother made them properly. Rumor in the village had it that waffles weren't supposed to be gray. Like most cheerless days in Borix, the sky was the color of his mother's waffles. Worstley sighed at the clouds, exasperated. "Would it kill you to let the sun shine through every once in a while?" he said. The demon geese honked at the sound of his voice and waddled his way, hissing, wings extended in a threat display. Worstley raised his shovel in front of him protectively. "Go on now! Shoo!" he said. As he fenced with their snapping beaks for a few seconds, he couldn't help muttering, "There's gotta be a better way to live than this." Had he been in a musical, he thought, right then would have been the perfect time to sing a sad song about his woeful lot in life while emphasizing his eternal optimism and plucky heart. Although he'd been born in this very barnyard, right there by the bucket of lumpy slop, he'd always felt that he was meant for greater things, for some important purpose in the larger world. But there wasn't so much as a gap-toothed troubadour around to strike an obliging opening chord rhapsodizing about his shining future. Lord Urgot had hanged them all for singing a little ditty about his pokey short sword on his wedding day. The geese fended off, Worstley checked the position of the black billy goat that occasionally found it amusing to ram him from the blind side and bleat a laugh as he clutched his back and winced. So far, the goat was staying still. Gus was his name, but he was watching Worstley carefully from the other side of the barnyard near the fence. Or at least Worstley thought Gus was watching him. It was hard to tell. The goat's eyes never seemed to point in the same direction. "Don't even think it, Gus," Worstley called. Gus bleated, lifted his tail, and ejected a fresh pile of pellets out his backside. "Oh, great. Why do people think animals are cute?" Worstley wondered aloud. "They're just nasty." "Ah, you got it easy, kid," a voice called from the fence to the right of the billy goat. Worstley's eyes slid in that direction and spied a diminutive form perched on a post. "Goats ain't nothing. You want a dangerous pile of poop? Wait until you get a load of dragon dump. It's hot and sulfurous, and it'll burn the hairs right out of your nose." "Who are you?" Worstley asked. "Better yet, what are you?" "Come here, kid. We gotta talk." Keeping a wary eye out for attacks from geese and goat, Worstley drew closer to the fence to get a better look at the speaker. Whoever she was, she had a set of double wings like a dragonfly's branching from her back, thin and translucent and veined with iridescent colors. They were the most beautiful things Worstley had ever seen. But the owner of said wings wasn't precisely the image of a proper fairy. A rather large mole with three stiff and proud hairs sprouting from it was rooted on the side of her left nostril. She had two black holes where teeth should have been, and the three remaining molars were capped with gold. A single eyebrow, not unlike a furry caterpillar, wriggled about on her forehead. Worstley would have expected a glittering dress, dainty as a flower, But such was not in the offing. She wore a shirt that looked more like a used handkerchief, possibly swiped from someone with the plague. Her dull red pants ballooned over the thighs, with the right leg bunched at the knee, revealing one blue threadbare sock. Her left pants leg fell to her ankle, but that foot was sadly sockless. Dirt rimmed her toenails, and she radiated a powerful funk that might have been fungal in origin. In short, she resembled a fairy about as much as Worstley looked like a prince.
"Are you all right?"
Worstley said.
"Of course I am. I mean, apart from it being too blasted early, I'm fine."
She belched robustly.
"Ah, that's better."
Worstley blinked.
"Right. It's just that you don't look like what? You'd better not say a fairy, kid," she said, pointing a warning finger at him.
The finger appeared to have a booger affixed to the tip.
"I'm a pixie. Name's Staff."
"Staff?"
"That's what I said. I'm here to change your life, so we should probably get on with it so I can do something more productive with my day than talking to some scrawny cheese hole."
Worstley took a step back and looked around suspicious. He'd always dreamed of seeing a fairy, but never one that smelled quite so terrible.
"Is this a joke? You can't be a pixie."
Staff blanched and looked over her shoulder to make sure she still had wings. The motion made her wobble unsteadily on the fence post.
"Wings are still there. I'm a pixie. What the fuck else would I be? A bogey?"
She waggled her booger-tipped finger threateningly at him and cackled.
"Are you drunk?" "Not as much as I'd like to be. Now look, kid, I'm here to tell you something important. The good news and the bad news is that you're the chosen one. You have a destiny, and I'm here to bless you with it. Or curse you, whatever. Anoint you, let's say.